There are patients we see now with newly diagnosed metastatic disease that we would have said a few years ago, there's no way they're ever going to get to an OR to deal with this metastatic component. And now we're sending some of those patients. And it's not everybody, but it's really changing who we think about for surgery. And it's not just liver confined. I mean, you know, we'll now sort of say, okay, we'll go after the liver. Yeah, we see that he's got a pulmonary nodule, but, you know, we may deal with that too. And these may not be curative strategies, but they are part of a strategy of stretching out the clock. We need to think about metastatic disease as hopefully a marathon, and it's not a race. You know, I think what happens a lot is you go from regimen A to regimen B to regimen C. There's no holidays. There's no, okay, you had a response. He's now got stable disease. Let's take off for 3 months. And I think doctors many times don't have the confidence to do that and just say, we're sitting tight. We're going to just scan you in 2 more months. And the patients I have who I think have done well, it's obviously partly biology. I mean, it's not just me. But part of it is we're willing to take a break and just sort of let things ride for a while. You can't do that if you have somebody with bad biology. But those are the patients we impact the least on. And I think doctors, oncologists, what the future is going to be, you get metastatic disease in your clinic. You have to think about, in a stepwise fashion, what are we going to do here? And not just, let's just plow through every regimen that we have. I think right now, we're starting to see a bit of a, I don't want to say kitchen sink, but I think, you know, let's add a VEGF inhibitor and an EGFR inhibitor and cytotoxic therapy, combined cytotoxic therapy, and try to maximize response. It may turn out that that's the best way to ensure prolonged survival. But it may be that we say, let's start with this cytotoxic chemotherapy and a VEGF inhibitor. And then in a sequential way, we're going to move to a second cytotoxic regimen, perhaps with a biologic, maybe not, and then a third line, and to have more of a let's have this strategy. And this may be punctuated for some, a subset of patients, but I think it's a growing subset of patients with surgical interventions. It gets complicated when you talk about hepatic resection, ablation. Those are things that I think, unfortunately, too many people, I guess, have the technology to use. I'm not convinced they have the wherewithal in terms of oncologic sense, how to use them, when to use them. But I think the really good oncologist is talking more to his surgical colleagues, or should be talking more to his surgical colleagues in a prospective way as they follow patients through their course of therapy or course of therapies. And really, this is where I think we need to start having docs think about these things as not just, well, you know, my brainstem says fulfoxavastin, and when he runs out of that, we'll do this. As opposed to, well, let's sort of have a more longitudinal plan here. The other area that I don't want to say I'm discouraged, but it would be nice if surgeons didn't necessarily attack the primary in the face of metastatic disease. Because I think many of these patients, their primaries can respond to the combinations we now have. Back when I started as a GI oncologist, we would treat patients with a primary tumor in place with 5-FU-based therapy. The best we saw was the primary didn't get any worse. Now, I mean, I have several examples of patients with rectal cancer in particular where, you know, we're not interested in radiation necessarily at that point in time, who will respond to combination cytotoxic therapy with or without the biologics. I think the biologics can add to the response rate. And so the timing of surgery, the interventions that we actually put these patients through, I think is really going to be dynamic.